Okay, we spent an unusual amount of time in Siman Daled because the Dinim Siman Daled. Yeah, we're Siman Daled. It's only one sif. We spent I think it was 3 weeks on it, right? And we're going to complete it today. Now, the last page of Siman Daled, the long Ramah, is not so lamaisa. We'll do it last. Next to the last page, I told you last week I'd talk about some tshuvas, halacha lamaisa, regarding this, and that I'll do. I want to review the last four lines plus one word on the next to the last page of Siman Daled. The Ramah, they ended that part of the Ramah. Yeshayimim delay mikri avdina la'navshei elok shemazik l'chaveirai. The restrictions that you only allowed to do din la'navshei if you could prove your case is this Yeshayimim hold is only when you kishemazik l'chaveirai. Kagayin shemakeyu, like you have to hit him to take the law into your own hands. L'chein l'l yuchalaseis elim ken yuchal Levarish Ushalai. If you're going to hit him, he's going to take you to Bezdin and to Pitevei you. So if you can't prove you're right, you better not take the law into your own hands. Abo, Tfista Bialma, Shetofse Lamashkin, Yachalasis Bechol Inyan, Vyeracha Kachi Miladin. Alright, so this is the, Halach Lamaisa is this way, that if you have a din Torah with someone and you want to be the Mochzik, so you can grab a mashkin from him, and afterwards go to din. I mentioned the shach in Sefer Takvei Kayin, which the shach here alludes to, who says they only grab it not in front of witnesses. If you're going to go grab from him in front of witnesses, they're going to arrest you as a thief, and you're going to have to pay kefil. Well, maybe not kefil, but you'll have to pay him back. The whole idea of tefisa is only not in front of Eidim. So you have a migu, and with a migu, you're good.
So you have hamoti mechavera alavaraya working for you if you take it. Yeah.
Right. That's the idea. The idea is that if you can't prove your case in Bezdin, it's your word against his word. You're going to lose. But if you do a tefisa, then you're going to win. So the burden of proof shifts, and therefore that's really the ideal thing that a person should do, only if he knows he's right. The problem is that everyone knows he's right, but okay, there, I would like to
another basic question in the Zikin. I saw a Rav Shor Sefer on Perkei Avos, he quotes some of the Hashishcha, that really all the Zikin comes to you based on the pasuk "Ve'ahavta l'reacha kamocha." Would the Rav say that too? That it's really that l'reacha kamocha.
If I say yes, we can go weiter.
Yes.
The answer is yes. The stipler in his first piece of Bava Kama, the stipler says, "How do you know you're not allowed to be mazik someone and pay him?" Terry just says, "If you're mazik, you pay." So you can't hit a person. That's an aveira, a mazik adam, a mazik moment. So you want to give him grief. You'll pay. It's worth it for you. You break his window, especially on a cold night. And then afterwards, you'll pay him for it. So one of the answers he brings is v'haftal re'echa kavaycha. That's sort of the catch-all for everything. So he has a few things. Reb Baruch Ber brings from Reb Chaim that if the Torah says you have to pay, it's understood that you're not allowed to do it. If the Torah says if you break someone's window, you got to pay. It's understood that. You know. Right, so I would like to mention a few.
The
Ben Al Machaveri, the Tsar. It's true. Anyway, let's go to Avad Ishnil and Hashem. Yeah. The other person has two ways to do it. Let's say someone owes you $200. And you can't prove it. So you grab his bicycle and you take it to your house. So now the other person, in order to win, has two ways to win. Either you can prove that you stole the bike, then you have to give it back if you can prove it. Or just say he's a marikama and the bike is not good enough because the Mosik wins. The other way he can win is by winning that some din taira. Yeah, but there he's in a disadvantage because he's not a Mosik. So the only exception to that, the Devarim Asuyim Lahashul Lahaski, are things that it's normal to lend people. There's like an exception in halacha. If I'm holding something and you could prove you bought it this morning, or even 10 minutes ago, and I'm holding it, I could say you gave it to me. And I win the din taira. Except Devarim Asuyim Lahashul Lahaski, things that it's normal to lend people, there are Mare Kama wins. If you buy it from him, you have to prove it. Or gaidrois, or animals, which tend to go away on their own. Yeah, that's the exception. Okay, so I'd like to discuss a couple of halacha lemaisa issues that have to do with oven and shtigel and nafshei. The first, we started to talk about last week, going to court for enforcement. What it said here in Shulchan Aruch, oven and shtigel and nafshei, but not a day guy. But the oven yishul nashay means you can take the law into your own hands. But it said abalo yal yedei yakum. It said in the middle of the Ramah. As a matter of fact, it's six lines up. Abal asa las is yedei yakum. But you're allowed to take the law into your own hands, so to speak, but not yedei yakum, which means a person can't go tarakais. Enforcement, the Tumim says, is permitted. The Tumim is later in Simen Chavav Sifches. He says, Isser HaKois is an Isser to go to court for a decision. If the court to issue a decision. So that's also, loy mi boy, if the court's rules are different than the Torah rules. But even if the court rules are equal, the same as the Torah rules, it's still Isser. However, well, a simple case is where Bezdin paskind, Bezdin paskind, you don't have an arbitration agreement, you're not going to be able to enforce it. But a Bezdin paskind, you have an arbitration agreement, so you take it to court, and you're allowed to go to court for enforcement. It's a tshuva in the Michas Yitzchak, in his Shas Tshuvas, Chelakei Tshuva Kaf Aleph. He has two tshuvas. One tshuva he talks about somebody who's just not going to listen to din, and there's no question. Let's say I have a document, a signed document that he owes me money, and he doesn't claim it's forged. He doesn't claim he paid. He just not answering my phone calls. So in such a case, you're allowed to go. That's called a gavra who's an elaim, a gavra who's acting strong or tough. So you're allowed to go to court, he says, to enforce. Or there are many cases where a person, where the rules are simple, and the person, sometimes you have neighbors who build onto your property, the plan is overlooked that they're onto your property line. So you're allowed in such a case to go to court. You're going for enforcement. You're not going for a decision. If he'll make a claim that he bought it from you, so you'll have to go to Bezdin to decide if he bought it from you or not. But you're not going for a decision, you're going for enforcement. And enforcement is mutter, a simple case. Someone's blocking your driveway, you want to pull out. So you want to call, to have it towed. You gotta get out. Now usually it doesn't pay, because they won't tow it until you get a ticket. So first you gotta get the policeman to your door. To give him a ticket, and then you have to get him told. So it's not really, not practical. You're not allowed to do it to punish him. You're allowed to do it. Oven and shtigel and nafshei is not to punish a person. If someone is blocking, you're not allowed to do it to punish him. You're allowed to do it to get out. You want to pull out. So you're allowed, that's oven and shtigel and nafshei. A person can do it to, yeah. Well, you call him up and you tell him, where's my $100? So if he claims that he paid you, so you have to go to Bezdin. Now the way it works, if he refuses to go to Bezdin, Bezdin gives what's called the heter akois. They tell you, okay, he's not coming to Bezdin, go to akois.
Why is it, if it's under enforcement,
then it's enforcement. But if he says he doesn't owe it to you, if he claims he paid you, even though you know he didn't pay you, but that's that you need a din Torah for, whether you're entitled, right? If it's if he says he paid you, if you have a shtar, you're going to win. But what? That's what he's saying. Look, if he's saying something ridiculous, that's not saying anything. If he has some sort of taina, so you have to. If there's something to adjudicate, then you have to go to a judge. That's a Yehudi.
Question: but today's time in Israeli courts, what would they consider that?
I don't know anything about Israeli courts. Baruch Hashem, no, very little, I should say. What?
We've seen so much that.
I don't know. I don't know what's different about Israeli courts than American courts, so if it's different, I'm not aware of it. Okay? What's different is the Israeli courts and American courts? They're both secular courts. They're both secular courts that don't care about the Torah. So what's the difference if they're Israelis or they're Americans? There's a second shuv in the Minchas Yitzchak about a Michal Shavis who's certainly not going to go to Bezdin. So that's the second shuv in the Minchas Yitzchak in Chelik Tes, Kuftun Ches, where he brings the Kesef Kodshim. Kesef Kodshim is a Mefarish here on the page. I think it's a Buchacher Rav. And he says that Legabe Arkois, he has a din of a guy. If he's Vadeh, not going to go to Bezdin. The Kesef Kodshim says that you can go to court. The Minchas Yitzchak says to send him one Azmana, just to sort of, not that he's going to listen, but to make the statement that my preference would be to go to Bezdin. There's a tshuva in Igros Moshe about a bounce check. If somebody bounces a check, he says again, there's no reason to go to Bezdin. A bounce check is a document. You can go straight to Arkois. You can go straight to collect. It's a Igros Moshe and Chesh Mishvot Beis Tshuva Tezvav. I'm going to talk about other aspects of the tshuva shortly, but that's what he says. By niske shcheinim, by neighbors, the pischei chayshin, and he has a chelak on hilchos shcheinim. In Perek Yud Gimel, in footnote Aleph, he's also matir to go, but he says only if the court will pass can give you something you're entitled to alpi din Torah. You can't go to court and get something that alpi Torah you're not entitled to. But otherwise you're allowed to. Sometimes the courts award damages, and the damages include interest, they include ribbis. So you're not allowed to take the money, that the ribbis money, but you're allowed to, you don't have to tell them right away you're not taking it. You're going to disincentivize them for listening. The ribbis is a incentive for him to pay, and so you don't have to tell him I'm not going to take it, but when he finally pays what he owes you, the extra amount that's interest you're not allowed to take. However, what? A knas that's not up to Torah you're not allowed to take. However, and this is a practical thing, up to Torah, if someone forces you to go to court without there may be exceptions when there's a good cause for one reason or another, but in a case where a person takes you to court, he just refuses to pay, and you have to go to file a lien, or you have to collect, you're really entitled api halacha to reimbursement for your lawyer's fees. Lawyer's fees today are garmi. At the very least, they're grama, for which it also helps to grab. But usually they're garmi, because there's no way an ordinary person can go to court and without the help of a professional and collect. So lawyer's fees are really garmi. So I've told people who were awarded in court the money that they were teveya plus interest, that the amount of interest that's equal to their expenses, the courts don't give you a lawyer. They don't reimburse you for your fees. But since halacha does, so you're not entitled to the interest, but the amount of interest that's equal to your expenses, you're allowed to take. It's a reimbursement for expenses. You're not taking money for your time. But for that, you're allowed to. These are all examples of cases where a person goes to Arkais and is allowed to. Avin Shil Anafshe is allowed to. He's not going for a judge. He's not going for a decision. He's going for a collection. And enforcement is muta. Again, the big maramokim on this is the Ormetumim and Simcha Chavav. Sivkat and Hay, when the Mechis Yisrael brings it, he quotes the Tumim as that's where Menas and Eifshitz as the clear makar for this thing. Well, you're not allowed to lie to get money, even if you deserve it. You can't go to court or to Beis Din and say a lie. The Gemara says, I have a meaning, you're allowed to. If you know he owes you money, but you can't win, but you know you can win something else, it's not true. The Gemara says, Mitvar Sheker Tirchak. You're not allowed to say a Sheker in Beis Din in order to get money you're entitled to for a second reason. But except for that, like a person was already awarded something he's entitled to plus interest, and he knows the person owes him money from somewhere else, he can take the interest for that. You should really ask a rav, make sure you're entitled to it, but if it's clear you're entitled to it, then you could.
The Darashta is being Parsha Keturcha in court, right?
Right, right. Then the Parsha of court is...
Once or another one, there's an insurance company in between. You know, they answer a lot of money, they answer millions of dollars, and there's insurance.
It's
not interest. Two Jewish people.
Yeah, the damages that are awarded these days are, and they're not up to halacha, and they're not up to any common sense. Rabbi Yoshua does have a psak that when you sue an insurance company, even though you have to name
the person.
You have to name the person in order to collect from the insurance company. Rabbi Yoshua says that it's considered suing the insurance company, which is akum. And you're allowed to go to court, but to the degree, so when you have a din Torah with a guy, you're allowed to go al pi din of the Malchusa, but whatever it's going to cost the Yid, it's not al pi din of the Malchusa, you have to reimburse him. So if there's a hike in the premium, then you really, if you're not into al pi halacha, you have to pay back. So you have to pay for gami, okay. Yeah, Machinami.
Or
if it's clear that he took a foot of your property, you can go to court just to enforce it. You still can go to court. I don't know what they do. They make him take down the building. I don't know how it works. They could. They don't usually. So I do. They make him pay for it. Anyway, again, enforcement is motive. If it's something that's clear, then enforcement is motive.
Contract cause of action. They could award interest in time of the breach. So it could be that there is interest in tort. The interest only comes from the judgment, not from the.
It only goes from judgment and on.
Only from the judgment. Right.
Okay, even from judgment on, it'd be the same. The same thing. Yeah. Okay. Sadly, I've had this question. I hate to say it, probably a dozen times in the last 2 years, usually from a young lady who calls me. She works for a company, and they bill fraudulently. And sometimes they call, am I allowed to sign this? I said, no. And they sign sometimes that they bill for services like things that anybody with brains could catch, like she's with one client and with another client at the same time in two different locations, and they bill. There's a lot of, sadly, I mean, there's a lot of honest people too, but there's a lot of fraudulent billing going on. And they don't sign, so somebody else signs their name. So now they're already holding by investigation. And I had someone who called me, someone who lived here and moved, he retired, he moved to, I don't want to say exactly, so he called me up, you know, he retired, he moved, he's working for one of these billing companies. So he said, the FBI knocked on my door this morning, what do I do? I told him, you get a lawyer. He said, that's not a problem, I spoke to my boss, he said, don't worry, I have a lawyer. Yeah. I said, no, your boss has a lawyer for him. You need a lawyer for you. Your boss is your adversary. He's not your your helper in this case, in many cases. So the question is she allowed to say that's not my signature? And when she says that's not my signature, they're telling you're a miser. They're going to get in trouble. You're a miser. So there's no question she's allowed to say it. It's Cecil Beferish in the Igros Moshe. It's printed in Orach Chaim Chelek Hei. At the end, the last volume, whatever they could find, they just dumped into the last volume of Orach Chaim. In Orach Chaim Chelek Hei, Tshuva Tes. At the end of the Tshuva, he has such a Lashon. I don't know if I was going to write down the Lashon, but he says, you could tell the truth. You don't say somebody, the Lashon is not someone signed it fraudulently. You just say, that's not my signature. I didn't sign it. And you don't have to you don't have to suffer because, somebody's a crook. What? Chayecha Kaidman. And if it would be two crooks, Chayecha Kaidman, you get them in trouble, I don't know. But when one person's honest and the other people are crooked, it's a problem. Okay, that's free legal advice. The free legal advice, when you sign something, only sign it if it's accurate. This is the chiddush of the day. Only sign something if it's true.
I think you could sign it away that sort of exonerates you from liability. I knew a judge, when I first started, there was a judge who used to sign the timesheet of his clerk. He used to put his initials and write as noted. He didn't swear to the fact that he was in 9 to 5 every day. He just wrote as noted. It's just like signing that, a devious way to get out of it, getting in.
Anybody needs a devious way, contact Ron right after. Look, I don't know. It's not smart. It's very sad. People call if they could steal, am I allowed to steal? Am I allowed to write things? The client didn't show up, so it's not fair, so the boss told me I should sign. I said, but the rule is, if he doesn't show up, you don't get reimbursed. It's not fair. I know it's not fair, so go into a different line of work. That's the deal they're telling you. So it's sad, the person's getting browbeat, so I tell them, the government's investigating places like you. Oh, then I won't do it. It's a shame. Rabbi Shalom's investigating. Doesn't matter. But the government's about. Oh, okay. Then I won't do it. But it's sad. The rule is if the client doesn't show up, you can't bill. There's no reimbursement for services for children if they don't show up. That's the rule. Someone said, Minig is Deicha Halacha. I think BC used to say, Minig is Deicha Halacha. Halacha is like Signaiv. The Minig is that we're not acting so much. Okay, let me get back to the Chuvas. Okay, yeah. Yeah? It depends what the person is saying. If you have a document and the person just doesn't pick up your phone calls, or he says, I'm just not paying you, that's enforcement. If he has a claim that the document, something has to be adjudicated, then that's something else. That's. If he has a claim, then you're right. You have to go to Besdin. If he claims that there's something fraudulent about the check, and that's why he bounced it, Sanafinami, you're right.
It's different than the stop payment. The stop payment is saying, I changed my mind. I mean, when you bounce a check, you admit you attempt to pay, but then you change
I'd like to discuss the lumpness of checks, but I want to first finish the simon at this time. There's another important din. If you go to a din Torah and you see that you're going to be a Maida B'Miktzas, you see that he's Tevea you, and a part of it you do owe him, and the rest of it is wrong. Let's say a person is in such a situation. Now, you don't want to be a Maida B'miksas in Bezdin, because a Maida B'miksas is Chayav Shvuah. For the most part, we don't enforce Shvuahs today, but we grant a certain different batim, have different minhagim, they grant a certain percentage B'makim Shvuah. So you're at a disadvantage. So what you should do when you go to Bezdin, if you're a Maida B'miksas, is use the principle of Halach. The principle of Halach, which is in the beginning of Mitzvah, Daf Dalet, is that if someone says, you owe me $100, and you say, I only owe you $50, and you say, and here's the $50, so that's called Halach. Here it is right now. So there's no Shuas Maida B'miksas. It's an exception to Maida B'miksas. If you say Halach, Halach means here it is. The question is, what happens if you're caught and you're in Beis Din and you see your Maida B'miksas and you don't have the money to give Halach? So, well, it depends how much money it is, but the Muki Yosef there on Daf Dalet discusses whether you can just give him a mashkin. You take, let's say your wife is with you, she has her diamond ring, and it's worth something. So you tell him, hey look, here's a diamond ring. He says, I don't want a diamond ring. He says, a mashkin, it'll be a mashkin. I'm going to get it back. Or you take off your coat. The person has a coat. That's not a promissory note. But you give him a document. You give him the wife. That's not worth so much. It's used. It's used goods. You know, a fresh wife might be worth more, but so you take off your coat, you give him your coat, it's $200, tell him, here's my car, you have your car there, it's worth a significant amount of money, so you give it to him as a mashman.
A check is a mashman or a check is payment in this case?
It depends how you look at a check, and I think it's different. In America, a check is nothing. I will talk about checks separately, I want to leave that for last, but the... But you give him a mashkin, so the Muki Yosef is a Sufik, and he brings the Rimagash, that said it's no good, and Afal PK, the Muki Yosef is a Sufik. Now this depends on the lumdis of what a mashkin is. There's a fundamental machlaikis, what it means when you give a mashkin. Let's say, we're not in Bezdin, but, you lend me money. And I give you a mashkin, I give you, my silver menorah. You're lending me $500, I say, here's my silver menorah, it's a mashkin. You don't have to write a shtar. Normally you want me to write a shtar, so I'll give you a mashkin, and you're in the driver's seat, you're a mochzik. What's the lumdis of a mashkin? Is a mashkin a pikadon? I give you something to hold. If I don't, it's like a lien on the menorah. It's my menorah, but you have a lien on it, you have possession, you'll be able to grab it. Or is a mashkin a payment, a conditional payment? And you lend me $500, I'm giving you $500 in Shavu Kesef, and it's a conditional payment, with a condition, if I come with money, you have to give it back to me. Now, there's a machlokes Rashi in the Rambam. If I'm holding a mashkin, what's my din? Let's say I'm holding a mashkin, I'm in an oinus, something happens to it. And I'm in an oinus, an earthquake swallows up the mashkin. So, there's a machlaikis, Rashi and the Rush say that yichayiv ba'oinsim. Yichayiv, even if oinus happens, when you take a mashkin, yichayiv. The Rambam says, no, you're a shemer sachar. You're a shemer. You have benefit. It's a tricky question what the benefit is, but you're holding the mashkin. You have a benefit by holding it. You're shemes sacher. You're potter on einsim, even chayva geneva v'aveda, but you're potter on einsim. So there's a Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim explains Rashi. He says Rashi holds. It's written in Yiddish. It's a Yiddish sentence that. It's very good he wrote it in Yiddish. In the yeshivas, people remember this Reb Chaim because of the Yiddish expression. Reb Chaim writes, in the mashkin lik dechayv. That's what he says, in the mashkin lik dechayv. When you give someone a mashkin, Rashi says you're paying. That's why you're chayiv and einsim. Not chayiv and einsim. It's paid. So he says, in the mashkin, lick the chayiv. I always, when I say it in class, I say it's Yiddish, but only one of the six words is Yiddish. In the mashkin. There's no Yiddish in that. Licked. Okay, got all licked. The chayiv. So in the mashkin, lick the chayiv. So Reb Chaim says, the halacha is that if Shemitah passes, and a person didn't write a pros book, and he has a mashkin, so Shemitah is not mishamit. Now you may be able to explain it some other way, but the way Reb Chaim learns, in the mashkin, lick the chayiv, the pashit, you paid up the chayiv conditionally, and when you give the mashkin, you're paying up the chayiv in the mashkin, the chayiv. So Shemitah is not mishamet. There's no chayiv. Lick the chayiv means you paid the chayiv. You lend me $500. When I give you the menaira, I'm paying the chayiv. Lick the chayiv. The $500 I owe you, when I give you the mashkin, in the mashkin, licked, it means the peroin chayiv. Chayiv is paid up. It's your asset, right? That's why the naira is
happening.
What?
You have to give it back. You have to give it back.
You do, because the mashkin is given conditionally.
It's yours.
But if I make a business deal with somebody and I have conditions, Shemitah is not mishamek conditions in a deal. So I'm giving you the mashkin as payment. I'm making a deal with you that if I come with money by a certain date, you have to return the menorah.
Like a mortgage?
No, it's not a mortgage at all. No. In the case of a mortgage, the mortgage continues to, it's not a payment, the mortgage continues to accrue interest. It's still a chayiv. But in the case of a straight chayiv, in the mashkin chayiv, now the machaber passed us like the Rambam, kidarkai, but the shach and siminai and hey, siftes, cotton test, the shach paskins like Rashi. He says it's a Gemara. The whole thing is based on the Gemara. The Gemara says that the language is, it's in the I think Vavam and Bezos, Anam Bez and Kedushin, among other places. It says that when you have a mashkin, it's the pasuk says if you take the pillow of an alman, it's lav dakan alman, of a poor person as a mashkin. Every night you should give it back so she can sleep with it, and then you get it back in the morning, which is not a practical way of having a mashkin, but that's what it says. So it's a pasuk says ulachati et tzedakah, and it counts as tzedakah. So Rabbi Yitzchak says, "I'm Rabbi Yitzchak b'chayv kain a mashkin. Why is it tzedakah? It's her pillow. You're giving it back." So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yitzchak says that b'chayv kain a mashkin, and it's his, and it's tzedakah when you give it. So the Shach says, the Lashon, Bal Chayv Kaina Mashkin, he says, the Lashon Kaina Mashkin is one raya. The second raya, he says, L'chot Yet Tzedakah, it's called tzedakah. But he has another raya. The halacha is, you could be Mekandish and Isha with a Chayv. Now you can't be Mekandish with a Chayv, he's not getting anything. It's just a promise for the future. But Mashkin Da'acherim, if you give her, the man has this menaira, he's mekadesh an isha. Now, if she thinks she's getting the menaira, it doesn't work. You have to tell her this menaira is a mashkin, it represents a chayiv, and I'll give you the money. When he gives the money, you'll be in my seat with the mashkin. So it's a good kedushin. So Mamela, he says that a mashkin is a form of payment.
Does Reb Chaim only see it that way? That's the only way
that he sees it in Rashi and the Rush. He, that's how he explains Rashi in the Rush. His understanding is that way. It fits in with, like the Shach says.
It's
$1,000
mashkin and $500 chayv. What happened?
Yeah, $1,000 mashkin, $500 chayv. You're shutef in it, really. According to Chaim, you're shutef in it. So this is his din of b'chayv kaida mashkin. I think it's la halacha, and according to that, it would help getting back to Maida B'miksas. According to that, if you're at a din taira and you're a Maida B'miksas and you give a mashkin, the mashkin would represent the tashlumin, it would be haloch, and mamele you'd be off the hook from the shore. Okay, so these are the truth. There's one one additional tshuva, which is a tremendous chiddush in Igros Moshe. If not that Rav Moshe said it, I find it hard to believe. Rav Moshe has a tshuva, and again, this is Chash Mishpat Beis Tshuva Tesvav, same tshuva he talks about a balance check. He has there a tshuva about someone who didn't make a prosbul. Someone owes him money. He forgot to make a prosbul. And now he wants to collect, and Shemitah was Meshamet. This is fairly common with Bali Tshuva. There were a lot of Bali Tshuva who Shemitah passed. They lent money, sometimes in numerous loans. And they hear about a prosbul, and they say, you know, I never did a prosbul. So most people don't have a lot of outstanding loans to Jews, but this is the Shaila. So Rav Moshe has says the following. Now, if the Leiv wants to pay, the halacha about Shemitah is that if you didn't write a prosbul, someone comes to pay, you should tell him Mishamitani. He says, Afal pi kein, you take it from him. It's not considered a gift. It's not the way Dvar Moshe explains it in Gittin, is that Shemitah doesn't make the debt disappear. The debt exists. It's a mitzvah to be Mishamet Achayv. Now, as you have a mitzvah to say Mishamet Ani, if he says, Afal pi kein, I want to pay, you take the money, and Ruach HaChabim Leichemenu. The Gemara says the right thing to do. The right thing is that the Shemitah to pay anyway, and it is that way. That is more to it. The halachas of Shemitah are a chayshim mishpat and simin samachay. The Ramah there brings that. What happened to this volume? The Ramah brings that the minig in many communities was at samazayin. The minig in many communities was not to hold that Shemitah is mishamet chayvais. There's the places where the minig was that Shemitah is not mishamet. And he writes, not because the master mashkas of a Torah, because the hold up is manazeh, Shemitah is not mishamet. Let me find where it is. But and he writes that was a common minig in many places, which today is certainly not the minig. What?
You've been here before.
Yeah, we learned Samazayin, Shemitah year. And there must be a Sif Aleph. Let's see. The Sif Aleph. What? He says, Yeshayimim and Shemitah Nehegas Bizman Azeh. He does, it's Sif Aleph. Is Yeshayimim the Shemitah in the Ramah? The Shemitah is that Nehegas Bizman Azeh. Venira Shalayim Samchu Bibedinus Elu. She'ein Nehegin Din Shemitah Klal Bizman Azeh. V'aminig hayu noyegin adayim bizman harash kama shkasa b'tshuva shoyetzaveh kikruchya levatel aminig v'layashkechu bay. The Rosh said, why is the minig not to ignore Shemitah? V'layashkechu bay. Nobody listened to him. V'akosku kamken achroinim bizeh tam l'minig shedayegin Shemitah. Why is this such a minig? V'od divrei marik umari iserlan, that's trum sadeshan umamaril. He says, even though the Ikar Adin is Shemitah is Mishamit, he starts with saying, Keno Askama Sapaiskim. But he says, there were Medinais where the Midig was that Shemitah, they weren't Naik Shemitah. The Achrayim try to understand why it is that way. But that's what he writes. So Rav Moshe then, now that's not the Midig today. The Midig today is that we write prosbuls and Shemitah is Naik. Rav Moshe writes that you're not going to find a Bezdin Bizman Azeh that's going to Paskin that there's no Shemitah. Because the Ramah says that we're not Meicha in Medinas that have such a meeting. Nobody has such a meeting today. So he writes to the person, it's almost unbelievable to read, that Bezdin is not going to Paskin like this. So you're allowed to be Typhus of an Ishtin Lenavshe. You say Kimli like those Medinas that the Ramah brings. And you can be typhus. And not only can be typhus, it's hard to say this over. Ramey says you could go to court to collect. Why can't you go to court? You're supposed to go to Bezdin. But you know there's no Bezdin that's going to pass in this way. And you have a right to say Kimli. Now why no Bezdin is going to pass and you have a right to say Kimli? I don't know. They should have come to Ramesha. But he writes that that you're allowed to collect in such a case. And he says it's not a case of Arkais, it's a case of an Inishdigal and Afshay. The court's not going to decide anything. The court's going to see that he owes you money and it's enforcement. They're going to collect for you. The court's not going to be done in Shemitah. No, it's not Hazer. The court doesn't care about Shemitah. So Ramesh is matir to go to court to collect a person who didn't write a prosbul. I mean, the tshuva is a case of a shasat chak. It's not clear to me why it should be that way, but the rule is in a shasat chak, you be semech an adas yachid. So he's matir. If he matir Sardi, I don't know. This is the Ramah who says b'medina seilu in the Ashkenaz communities.
Where is he based it on?
And it's a he bases it on Simin Dalid. You're allowed to do dina l'nashe. If you have no recourse in Bezdin, you can go for enforcement in court. He calls that you have no recourse because no Bezdin's going to pass him this way. But you can say Kimli. Now Kimli doesn't help if you're not holding it. So you have to find a way to grab it and be holding it, and then. That's what he's talking about, yeah. Now, he does have a tziruf, and this is why I said I wanted to come back to discussing checks. The person did give post-dated checks for the loan, at the time of the loan. He gave post-dated checks, and I'm quoting now from the Igros Moshe, I copy down here his language. He ne bishas halva nosan haloi v'check shaloi, azman da'acha shmita. He gave a post-dated check for after shmita. Who kikviyas man void yaiser? Is that being kikviyas man? Now the halacha is, if you lend me money, and the due date is after Shemitah is not mishamet. We learn it out of the pasuk la yigais, that there has to be something you could collect on Shemitah, and if it, even though the loan document didn't put a later date, but he says a post dated check is kikviyas man void yaiser. Shuneshav kiteshlumin. Now here, this part of the Igros Moshe is important. Huneshav kiteshlumin me'acha she'osur lipsal check bedina demakusa. K'shebatal ha'check dimsa haschalas chiyuvai me'acha shmita. Moshe writes that giving a check is like payment, since it's osur lipsal check bedina demakusa, so it's considered. So when the person bounces the check, at that time the nuchay begins.
According to this psak, not only for Shemitah, let's say I know it, no person is going to bask it the way I think, on anything, not after Shemitah. So according to this
psak, I have to explain, you can only say Kimli on a shita in Shulchan Aruch. If you think a certain way, you can't say Kimli. Even if you find a Rishon, you take out a shita mekubetzes, you find a Rishon, you want to say Kimli, it doesn't work. Can I say Kimli on something brought in the Paiskim? That's why Shulchan Aruch brings Paiskim that we don't Paskin like. So, because you could say Kimli like those Paiskim. But just because you think so, that's not good enough. Here the Ramah brings the Minig, and that's why you could say Kimli. What? It's any, all the person can say Kimli. Doesn't even help him say Kimli. Ramesha, this is a Chiddush Gadol. Ramesha is only dealing with a tziruf of these things. I don't know how far Ramesha would hold of it. I preface this by saying that it's almost an unbelievable tshuva. I agree. I want to just talk to you about checks for a minute. One second. I want to talk to you about checks. The issue of checks, is checks payment? Or are checks just a promise to pay? There are two ways to look at it. You can look at check as a payment. You can look at the check, it's a letter. Let's say Reuven is holding a bag of my money. So you lend me money. I write you a letter. Dear Reuven, please give Jack my money. That's not payment. Jack is still holding my money. It's still my money. Right. It's just a pay to the order of. But it's not. Or is it considered to be payment?
Is that
So I'm aware of two tshuvas, one in the Minchas Yitzchak, which was written in England, and one Rabloi, which is written in Eretz Yisrael. And good. And so what they say is that a check is payment. It's a crime to stop a check, which is what it says here in Degas Maisha. And it's payment. And therefore, a check has a din like a bond. Now, this is what the Seimechan in Eretz Yisrael, when you go to a check cashing place, and you give them a check, and you pay them 1% or 2%. Now, if they give you cash right away, there's no ribbis issue. They don't give you the money right away. You have to wait. You have to wait for the money. They don't get the money right away. They give you the money right away. I'm sorry. They give it to you right away, but they have to wait till they collect it. Since they give you the money right away, it's a loan. They give you the money ahead of time, and they're going to collect tomorrow, the day after. So it's a loan, and you're giving them 1% for the loan. That should be awesome. The halacha is that you're allowed to sell a bond. A bond has value. You're allowed to sell debt. Chazal recognized that selling debt has a market value. $100 shtar, if you want to sell, it's not worth $100. No one's going to pay $100 for a bond that's $100. But they're going to pay you. They know they have to wait. They know they have to take their chances on collecting. No, bonds have value. So that's what they rely on. They look at the check as a bond. Now, you can't write your own check and cash it at a percent. What you have to do, if you want to do that, is get a friend. In the yeshivas, I think they're aware of this. If someone wants to get cash for his own check, that's not a bond. When the check is yours, the check itself is not an item of value. You can't sell your own check. When you're not selling the check. You're borrowing money and giving the check. So what you really have to do is give it to someone else, and he can go and treat it as a bond. And that's the halacha l'maisa, the way it's done in Eretz Yisrael. It bothered me, and I wrote about this in the Ribbis book, that the banking laws in England, Israel is based on English banking laws, the banking laws in England and the banking laws in the United States are very different. In England, it is a crime to stop a check. You're only allowed to stop a check if you claim fraud. Otherwise, it's a crime to stop a check that's given in what they call in due course. And a person can't do that. He can be sued for damages. It's not the way in America. In America, it's not a crime to stop a check. You just have to tell the bank. You click stop payment. And you can stop it. It's not a crime. So it seems to me that in America, the check is only a promise. So I think, if you remember, I think you showed it to Rabbi Bleich. Rabbi Bleich concurred, Sherefur Schleiman. But the language he wrote is that the check is an empty promise. Hopefully it's not such an empty promise, but he wrote, a check is nothing more than an empty promise. A promise that's not, you can't enforce it. You could go to court and prove that he gave you a check. He'll have to probably be a proof that he owes you money. But the check itself is not a what?
30 years ago
that...
Because
you're allowed to stop it. So I don't know, Moshe writes, his lashon is she'asa lipsal check medina demachusa. So I don't know. It's very confusing to me how to deal with it. Now, despite what I wrote in the Ribbis book, all the paiskim, they say, look, that's what it says in the Bris Yehuda. That's what it says in the Michas Yitzchak. All the Ribbis Svarim, or the ones written in Israel, certainly have it that way. They all have it. And I shouldn't say all. There are one or two that do write that in America, Tzarech Levara, there's a safer... Mishnas Ribbis, which is written by a good friend of mine, and he writes there that he's not sure that these tshuvas apply to American checks, that these rules apply. So I don't know exactly how a person works with it. It's a very tricky thing, and the whole idea of checks. Yeah.
Is it all bonds or even like high yield?
All bonds are the same. They're all high yield, just worth less, but they have a value. Now, if you don't mind, turn to the last page. You'll see why this is, it's not Negev today. The last thing are these dozen lines. Starting from the top line on the last page of the copies, which is the end of Sifhei. Yeah, the top line, the middle of the line. Chozem Ayri B'yachid Neged Yachid. This whole simon was talking about individuals. That's what we talked about. Avu Yachid Neged Rabim. Vuhu Mibnei Ha'ir. Avdi Dina L'Nafshayu. M'yoidim Shadini Mohem. The city, the Tzibur, is allowed to do a Din L'Nafshayu. Afa Pishin Yachayim Levar L'Fnei Bezdin. If you owe money to the tzibur, every individual in the tzibur is nagei b'davar, because he's benefiting from the collection. If you have a dinteru with the tzibur, so the tzibur is avinish l'davshei. And the tzibur is considered muhzakim. Now, next line. Hadi nikra muhzakim legabe yachid dafke bin yanei masim avolei b'shar devarim. It's only legabe taxes. What does it mean legabe taxes? So the Aruch HaShulchan, I brought it to read, but you'll have to trust me. He says this is only talking about a place where the government demands a certain amount of taxes from the community, and it's up to the Jewish community to collect. It was very typical to have a Jew tax, to have taxes, even in the places where Klal Yisrael lived in relatively good times, there were taxes, and the community had the job of collecting the taxes. So this din is dafka legabe in yonei masim, avoloi bishar devarim. But everything else, this Ramah doesn't apply. But so till here, like I said, it's only Negeya. The way that Aruch HaShulchan explains this is since the government could come and do what they want, so if you're collecting for the government, so you have that right, the presumption that you owe money to the government, to whatever they say. Umakavakayim, second in. Sarachlaseis mashkin kaidim shiardu ledenimai. With the tzibra, you also always have to give a mashkin. That's for a different reason. It says, tzibra is kaderi de beishutfi. Sometimes a person working for the government puts a lot of effort in getting a judgment, but nobody gets around to actually collecting it. Chozek sheina yachid tamil chacham, avalimu tamil chacham, sheterasim nasai, yeshedim bezem machmas masim, ain't sarklas lehem mashkin, gamene the krab muchzakin negdai. Again, this is, it has to do with masim, and anyway, today, no one's going to get away with claiming tamil chacham. Again, this has to do with the taxes of that day, and that's why this last din is not Nayig. It's Hashem. Next week we start Simin Hay in better weather. Bezus Hashem.